2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin tonight in verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened or restricted in us, but you are straitened or restricted in your own bowels or affections or your own heart. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. I've been sharing on the subject of, are we limiting God? And I've shared some things on the road just this week about how God wills to enlarge our hearts. And there's something that's burning in my heart that I want to communicate with you tonight. And I believe it's important to where not only we are, but where God's taking us. Because my heart truly is being enlarged in a way I've never experienced in my entire Christian life. I feel like I'm in a private revival. I feel like I'm living the book of Acts. I have never experienced so much supernatural activity and an enlarging, something changing inside of me, in my heart. I've experienced measures of this. I've had seasons of it. But I have never gone, as long as I've gone, since just before Jubilee, and literally, nearly every hour of the day, something of an awesome thing in God happening on the inside of me and changing me so quickly. It's exciting but frightening. And when is it going to stop? Is it supposed to stop? Can a man live at this pace and at this rate in a heart being enlarged? And I've never known anybody walking in what I feel like God's taken me into personally, and change coming this fast, this easily, this miraculously, not only internally, but then externally. And so while I'm experiencing this, my whole life has been spent in servanthood to God. That's what I live for, is to serve the Lord my God with all my heart, all my might, and all my strength. And now you, his people. And so I'm thinking, Lord, I want all of Victory's heart to be enlarged, like my heart is being enlarged. I don't want anyone to miss out. Amen. That's the truth. I don't want anyone individually to miss out. I don't want any location to miss out. I want what I'm experiencing for everyone to experience. And I don't know exactly how I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing, except it's the grace of God. It's just the goodness of God. It's a season maybe, or a time, and I don't know if it has an end, but I'm just walking this out and waiting it out with God. But I don't want you to be diminished in your heart during this time. I want somehow for God to take what he's doing in me and put it in every individual heart, and you be enlarged, and you be enlarged also. And just like Paul says, I am being enlarged in my heart. I'm speaking frankly to you. I'm talking to you like a father would a child. Don't sit back and not be enlarged also. Enlarge your hearts also. Open your heart to what God has for you. Open your heart to what God is doing. Because I believe every heart in Victory Life is to be enlarged. And I believe every location, because we're one church, six locations, I've actually been enlarged supernaturally in my heart for the other locations, and am believing for every one of them to double in size over the next year. But I know they can't double outwardly unless they double inwardly, unless they change inside supernaturally by the presence of God, by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, which leads us all to repentance, which is changing our minds, being changed internally, so that God can do some things externally. If that doesn't happen, I'll almost be disappointed, because I want it so bad, because I believe that's the nature of God in all of us. When God's doing something in us, we're not self-centered people. We want everybody to enjoy what God is doing. Amen? So I'm asking you, by the mercies of God, I'm beseeching you as a father to a child, this must be a supernatural season of being enlarged. Open your heart. Let God do something in your life over the next few months. When I think about what's on the horizon, I got to be honest and straight with you. When I think about what's happening to me every single day, nearly hourly, and to think that there's something good on the horizon that I know is still to come, I get nervous about it. I'm not talking about a demonic tormenting fear, but I really get nervous that, you know how you talk about God's going to do great things and you really believe God's going to do great things, but all of a sudden if great things really started happening, it's almost like, could this really be true? Am I tripping or is this happening? You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, I'm not tripping, and I'm telling you it's happening, and you're a part of it. Each location is a part of it. I can't tell you all that's happening. It wouldn't make sense to you. You couldn't, there's no way you could understand all I'm experiencing and all I'm seeing and all that's happening. And I know in my heart of hearts that while my heart is being enlarged like Paul, my real heart is that you be enlarged also. And that everyone experience the goodness of God and the greatness of God and a move of God. Now, a few weeks ago, I shared on your divine design of increase. You'll recall that. That tape's available in the back. It's G43, I believe. It's called Your Divine Design of Increase. Please allow me a few moments to review some of that material. We have new people, and it doesn't hurt for us to be refreshed in being enlarged, because these people were restricted not by Paul, not by God, but by their own hearts. Their own hearts. Listen at the Message Bible of verse 12. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lines aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Paul says, the smallness you feel, the limits you feel, the fences you feel, Paul says, I didn't fence you in. God didn't fence you in. God didn't limit you. God didn't make you small and for small things. God created you to be big in His kingdom for big things. And if you're not experiencing big things in this big kingdom, it's in your own heart. The smallness we feel, the insignificance we feel, the lack of impact that we struggle with because we love God and we love people and we want to make a difference, that smallness we feel is self-imposed. God didn't put it on the inside of you. He built you. He fashioned you to be able to be enlarged in your heart and to contain the fullness of the glory of God. That's your design. You were created to make a difference. You were created to be salt. You were created to be light. You were created to walk in the light and be channels and vessels of light. You were created to be a container and an expresser of another's glory, the glory of the Lord. And there's no end to His glory. We think we've seen glory, but we haven't seen the glory that we're going to see. We think we've seen good things and great things, and we have to a measure, but we haven't seen anything compared to what God wants to show us and what God wants to do. And it's not on God's end that there are these limits, these boundaries, these fences. They're in our own hearts. And God wants to tear the fences down on the inside of your heart. He wants you to break out of these boundaries of small thinking. He wants you to break out of any boundaries of limitations that we can't do that. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, to not despise small things. And one translation says small beginnings. God delights in doing great things in little people. And He delights in doing great things and bringing great things out of little places. And that means my life, and that means your life. One of the things I know that I know that I know I'm supposed to do is to be a witness to people that feel insignificant and feel like your life doesn't count and feel like your life doesn't matter and feel like you're breathing somebody else's air. You ever just felt like, why am I here? And I'm just breathing somebody else's air. I'm taking up space. No, God put you here for such a time as this. And God placed you here in this hour for a purpose. And God put you specifically in Victory Life. Notice it ain't Victory Death. It's Victory Life. And He puts you here for a purpose bigger than yourself. He put me here for a purpose bigger than myself. And he's fulfilling that purpose. And he doesn't want to just fulfill it in me alone, though I'm believing he's going to fulfill it if I have to go alone. But I don't believe I'm to go alone. I believe he wants to do great things in all of us. I think he wants to do great things right out of Durant. I think he wants to do great things in Atoka and in Boswell and in Hugo and in Sherman and in Brownwood. I'm talking about of great significance. I'm talking about something that shows up on the radar screen. That everybody knows that would have to be God. Amen. And anyone who knew me coming up knows that God is with me and God is all over me. And when God's with you and God's all over you, it's amazing how good you can look. But without him, it's amazing what a mess you can be. And there are people that need that reality and that truth. And I believe we're supposed to take, at least in part, that kind of message to people that are struggling with identity. They're struggling with family. They're struggling with purpose. They're struggling with significance. They're struggling with counting. And God wants to tear all those fences in the heart down and release his glory to do great things in our lives. So let's talk about increase and how God made us with the capacity to be enlarged, to increase. In Genesis 1:28, I shared with you in that message how that five things were spoken over man, created in the image and in the likeness of God. Number one, in verse 28, God says that he blessed them. He blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed them. Number two, he said, be fruitful. Number three, multiply. Number four, replenish the earth. Number five, subdue and take dominion over all the earth. Wow. Some of you are having a hard time subduing and taking dominion over your appetite. Thanks for laughing. I appreciate it. Others are having a hard time subduing and taking authority and dominion over a drug addiction, over alcohol, over sexual perversion. We could go on and go on and nail everybody eventually. Amen? Oh, come on. Some of you that I already named and were guilty, come on, shout with me. Amen? I could get everybody if I spent long enough. How many of you know if you can't control a cigarette, if you can't put a cigarette down, something you can see, if you can't take dominion over a white stick, how are you going to take dominion over an unseen demon? I'm not condemning anybody for smoking. It's an addiction. And I mean, it can get in your bloodstream. It can get in your psyche. And it can be as hard to quit smoking cigarettes as somebody coming off a crank or heroin. So I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not trying to hurt any feelings. I'm trying to say that none of us were created to be overcome. Every one of us were created to be overcomers. And when something overcomes you, when something overcomes you, you can't hardly stand it on the inside of you because you know, wait a minute, I was created to be blessed, not cursed. I was created to be fruitful, not barren. I was created to multiply, not diminish. I was created to replenish the earth. It means fill it. What was I created to fill it with? I was created to fill the earth with the glory of God. I wasn't created to be a taker. I was created to be a giver. I wasn't created when my fellow man goes through a hurricane to rob the stores and loot and steal and rob my brothers. That's man without God. That's the results of raising kids and not having them in church. We can blame it on everything else we want to in society and oppression and on it goes. But what we're seeing in New Orleans is sick. I can't even watch it. Stealing and robbing and taking from people that have lost everything. How can man be that way? That's man without God. That's man that has had the image of God so blitzed and blighted because of sin and rebellion that he doesn't know how to be blessed God's way, so he steals. He doesn't know how to be fruitful God's way, so he robs his fellow man. He doesn't know how to overcome God's way, so he overcomes by the flesh and sin and hurting others. And I thank God that one of the best decisions y'all made tonight was get your kids in church where we can get the Word of God on the inside of them and the things of God and a moral base and a love for people. We weren't created to steal. We weren't created to hurt. We weren't created to rob. We weren't created to take away, hurt, harm, and hate our brother. We were created to love our brother and bless our brother. We can't do that, though, without God. We have to be blessed and loved to go love now and be a blessing, but that's your divine design. That's why man without God hates himself, not just his fellow man. Those people doing that in New Orleans hate themselves as much as they do the fellow man they're robbing. It's sad. That's what the lack of the Word of God and the culture will create. You ought to be able to look at that and see a microcosm of what could happen if you take God and his image out of man. Amen. Man without God does not reflect the image of God, but the image of the enemy and flesh. And it's a horrible thing that happens to man when he doesn't fulfill his divine design. But see, man fell in the garden and lost that image. It got blitzed and blighted. But Jesus came back, and Jesus obeyed God, and Jesus has bought us back and brought us back. And in Jesus, we are blessed with every heavenly blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. And in Jesus and by Jesus, we become fruitful. And in Jesus and by Jesus, we multiply. And in Jesus and by Jesus, we fill the earth with good things, with the glory of God. And in Jesus and by Jesus, we subdue and take dominion over the right stuff. We don't subdue each other and take dominion over each other. We don't fight and fuss with ourselves. We fight the good fight of faith, and we wrestle now with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Amen. We know what to fight, who to fight, and how to fight, because we're fulfilling our divine design in God now. In God now. So when you look at all five of those things, listen, what you see is increase. What you see is productivity, growth, new things. One of the reasons that we do the dumb things we do is we get bored. We feel unfulfilled as human beings at times in our lives. And if we're not experiencing growth in God, if we're not experiencing increase, we will revert to the lower base nature of the flesh and begin to self-destruct. It's just a fact. And it happens to preachers. It happens to people in ministries. It happens to people on every front, because it's just a fact that you have to be going forward. And if you're not going forward and increasing, you're going backwards. You're decreasing. And a lot of people even go to church and they do well for 2 or 3 years because they're experiencing new things. They're growing. They're increasing. So they're feeling fulfilled. But even at church, you can reach a point where if you're not growing, if you're not increasing, if you're not truly serving and giving, you can begin to diminish and decrease sitting right there in a chair in church and just feel frustrated and unfulfilled and dissatisfied. What's wrong with me? And then you try to figure it out doing stupid stuff. And the truth is, God made you for increase. He made you for new things. So you better be walking with God and intimate with God and experiencing new things, or you're going to be frustrated. Now, we need to turn there real quick. I won't take long. It's real close together. Isaiah 42. Let's just look at these real quick. Isaiah 42. I got some new things concerning increase and this new land that we're going into. See, we're going into a new place. And some will sit in our midst and won't even know what happened till we're in the new place rejoicing. So they didn't help us get there, amen. But we love them enough to drag them into the new place as long as they're not kicking and fussing and cussing. You have to say that in these smaller churches. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. See, God does do new things, but once he does them, they become old things or things that have come to pass. Then what does God do? He says, I got a new thing for you. And if there's one thing I've learned about denominationalism, I didn't say denominations. Not all denominations are bad. Not all people who are a part of a denomination are bad. So listen to me carefully. Denominationalism is a spirit, and it can be on a church that's not affiliated with a denomination. And one of the things I've learned about denominationalism is you tend to hear God, you tend to pay the price of being different than your peers. But then when God fulfills what he said and what he wanted to do, you get stuck and you build a shrine or an altar and camp out right there. And now God almost has to bring up another generation or a new group to move on into something else. We have to enjoy what God does. We have to experience all God does and rejoice in all God does and enjoy all God does and then get ready for a new thing. Amen. He said the former things have come to pass, and then he says that a new thing he will declare. He says, before it springs forth, I'll tell you of it. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Yea, that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Now, God is into new things. And what keeps you alive and a high energy level are new things in your life. A lot of people think that the high energy level of a child primarily is youth, and they don't have a high energy level because, dear God, they're 25 now. I know of old people. I'm talking old. I'm talking about the pure definition of old. They are old. Anybody that walked up to them would go, they are old. Everybody wants me to put an age on it, and that's not wisdom. But you know old, and you know who's old. And you who are old, you know who you are. Old is when you, again, reach down to pull the wrinkles out of your socks and you discover you ain't got none on. That's old. Old is if it works, it hurts, and if it doesn't hurt, it don't work. I mean, I could go on. You know old when you see old. Does anybody know my point? I'm just scared. And I think I lost my point. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I know old people. I know old people that have this high energy level. And I know young people. I'm telling you the truth. Now, listen, this is going to blow your mind. I know young people in their teens can't hardly get out of bed. That's truth. They mope around. They got no energy. The only word they know is marijuana and SpongeBob. Have you ever known, and don't raise your hand, but have you ever known a real druggie? I'm talking about somebody really that's a druggie. Do you know their energy level just is gone? Why? They have no vision. They have no hope. They don't see a better day. And so Satan uses drugs and that addiction now to not only destroy their body, their brain cells, but their destiny. And so their energy level's gone because there's no new things happening in their life. They're not learning. They're not growing. Their vision's not being expanded. Their heart's not being enlarged. And so, boom, no energy level. Then you've got older people that have been used by God, and their ministry runs its course. And if they don't hear a new thing, if they don't get a new thing or renewed, you'll see their energy level just shoo. But all of a sudden, they hear God, and they get a vision. They hear God. I mean, my energy level is off the charts, and it's not Sue. Though she's having a hard time keeping up with me. Well, whatever. I didn't mean... Go to Isaiah 43. Everything improves. When you have a vision. When new things are happening. And a lot of churches, you ever thought about it? A lot of churches are just lethargic, comatose, paralytic. No energy, no excitement, no... Are you with me? What happened? No new things, no vision, no dreams, no hope, no reason to get up tomorrow. Everybody has to have a reason to get up, or you won't get up in the morning. And God wills to give us a new reason and a new thing and keep bringing new things to cause an energy level, excitement level, joy, the joy of fulfilling a dream. Do you know, many people fulfill the dream, and once they fulfill the dream, it's almost anticlimactic in the sense of they spent years getting there. Once they got there, it wasn't what they thought when they got there. It was the road to get there that was exciting. It was the overcoming, the challenges, the winning, the seeing prayers. I'm sorry, I'm about to preach. I'm telling you, God's got new things for us. You began in the kingdom as a new creation. You were adopted into a new family, a new identity. You were part of a new kingdom. There's a new heaven and a new earth still to come. Why? God is always doing new things. And we have to be flexible and pliable and willing to be a part of a new thing. I'm not talking about goofy stuff, and I'm not talking about just doing something to do something different. You know me better than that. I'm talking about God and the breath of God that brings newness and freshness and just causes your entire inner man just to contain more of God and to spill over on more people. That's what I'm talking about. Isaiah 43, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. It's not that the things of old were bad. It's not that they're illegitimate. It's not that they weren't for their time and of God. It's that there are some things, dear ones, that God does, listen, that he finishes. Did you really get that? There's some things God does in your life individually that he does it and he finished it. And that's not the end of your life now. That was to get you to a place for a new thing. Churches are the same way. God does things. He's moving. He's working. And people enjoy the moving and the working. And it's almost like they forget, wait a minute, okay, God finished that thing. And now it's an old thing. And it doesn't mean it was illegitimate again. It doesn't mean it doesn't become a part of our history and something we love and we constantly look back on in appreciation. But there's things in our church, in our corporate expression, that God completes that was for the sole purpose to bring you to a new place so he can take you now somewhere else. You got to understand that. Amen. All right, he says, remember the former things of old no more. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, one passage says God will declare it and we'll know it. Now here's a passage says a new thing's coming and we won't quite know it. What does that mean? That means while I have some understanding, I don't have full understanding. I have to live by faith. And while I overcame this obstacle and that obstacle, I'm going to face some new obstacles that I'm not going to understand in a new place, so I have to have faith in God. Faith in God. Now go to Numbers chapter 13, a familiar passage, but let's see if we can receive something new out of it. Numbers chapter 13. God's taken us and all of our locations to a new place. He's doing a new thing. He's been declaring it for quite some time. I wanted to do the video type presentation 3 years ago in Hugo, and I had reservations. I didn't know if I was ready. I didn't know if they were ready. And then Boswell came along, and I thought, I don't know if they could handle this and if this would work. And then Atoka, and then Sherman 3 years ago. I started in Sherman and intended to be in Sherman by video or live shortly after we started. But I struggled, and I didn't have all the answers, and I didn't know how it would work, and I didn't have any patterns. And then Brownwood comes along, and there's a point where God says, you have to do this. It's time. You've prayed long enough. You've waited long enough. You've talked about it. This is no secret to anybody that's really been listening and been paying attention. But we're at a point where God said, you have no choice. You trust me now or you'll regret it. And so, boom, we're at a new place. We have a land that is a promised land, and I have to go in now. Now, that's where Israel was, at a new place, and it was the leaders that kept them from going in. And so, the leaders are a key element in any church going to a new place. You can't go to a new place, you can't go to your promised land, you can't even go into a land that flows with milk and honey unless the leaders get in agreement, hear God, and obey God and trust God. And so our success to this point has been leaders willing to obey God, trust God. Well, you know the story. We'll start in verse 28 of Numbers 13. Nevertheless, here's these 10 spies that came back, 10 leaders that had respect in Israel's eyes. Up to this point, they had been good leaders. Here's what they said to Moses. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. In other words, we got some obstacles here. We got some problems. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, he's operating in his divine design. He knows there's problems. He knows there's obstacles. He knows it won't be easy. But he's of a whole different spirit. Let's go up right now and possess this thing. And verse 31 says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So I've taught you in the past that how we perceive ourselves is how we project ourselves, at least to the enemy. How you perceive yourself is how you project yourself to your enemies. They perceived themselves as grasshoppers. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what they had. They didn't know what they could do. And they were unwilling, now listen to me, dear ones, they were unwilling to take on a new challenge. They were unwilling to face new obstacles. They were unwilling to do what had never been done before, except two of them. Two of them had a different spirit. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were being enlarged in their hearts and saying, we be well able to take this land. Now look with me real quick at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb. Well, go to verse 22. It's probably not on the screen. That's my fault. But read with me verse 22. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and if not hearken to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. In other words, God says, 10 of you have seen my glory. You've seen my miracles. You've seen my faithfulness. And because you won't trust me now, you're not going to see the land. Then he says, but Caleb, or my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, here's what I want you to see. Caleb and Joshua were of the old move of God, the old school, the old church in Egypt. But because they saw the hand of God, they saw God do miracles, they saw God do what no one else had seen, They were able to be renewed as a leader and go on into the promised land. Though they were delayed, they were not denied. But 10 didn't get to go in and died in the wilderness. And God raised up new leaders over the 40 years to go into the new land that was willing to face the new giants, the new obstacles, the new challenges. Are you still out there? God's will and my will is for every present leader to go into the promised land, the new place. God's will and my will is that nobody die in the desert, leaders or people of God. God's will and my will is for everyone that's old to be renewed in the new challenges, the new obstacles, the new things that are impossible. Don't sit around here and tell me that have labored 18 years watching the impossible be done nearly every week that it's impossible for us to do what God's called us to do. I know it looks impossible. I know nobody else has done it. I know according to man and religion, it cannot be done. But I also know we've seen the miracles of God. We've seen the power of God. We've seen God do things that no other body has seen. Why can't we believe God and see this miracle come to pass and reach this country? We can. Unless we, the leaders, dishearten the people and end up in the desert for 40 years. Because God's going to do it. He's either going to do it with me and the old and the new, or I will pass on and another generation will be raised up, and your sons and your daughters will possess this land. Your sons and your daughters will come into a land that flows with milk and honey. Your sons and your daughters will be used by God in a mighty powerful way if you and I don't take it. If we don't possess it, if we don't believe God, if we murmur and we complain and we say we can't and we be not able, God will not be denied. He'll take your kids and your grandkids and he will enter that promised land in this country and make a difference right out of this house. I believe it. If we have to die off, I'm that confident that a Joshua is on the way. And we can either humble ourselves as the old and possess the new and be renewed and of another spirit, or we can die off and the next generation get to do something that hadn't been done in a way it hadn't been done. In Numbers chapter 15, look at verse 35. Numbers 15, that doesn't look right. Numbers chapter 15, where is that at? Praise the Lord. It talks about how, maybe it's chapter 14, did I read? Sorry, bear with me for just a minute. Oh, okay. Numbers 14, look at verse 28. Well, look at verse 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell by the valley. Tomorrow turn ye, get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil generation, which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Then he talks about in verse 34, after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil generation or congregation that gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed and they shall die. I'm telling you, that is a type and a picture. And if we say we can't, we won't, but somebody will. God will get a generation in a place that I believe he has called many to go, but refused to go. So I'm going, and I'm believing for all the old of each location, all the old leadership, to be of the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. But I'm also believing God, if he has to, will raise up a brand new generation in our midst that can think outside the box, that can think big in little places where God can do big things. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Now, an elder gave me a word. Go to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. And this was a word that was given in an elders meeting a few years ago. And to be honest, the word had escaped me. And this particular elder brought this back to my remembrance, and I haven't been able to get it off my mind. And I want to share this with you in closing. How God enlarges you inside and gives you increase, and then you have problems. Yeah, some of you have no idea what the Bible says, but you just perked up. It's like, yeah, every time I've grown, every time something good's happened, then boom, something bad happens. Well, there's a reason for that. There's an answer to that. And you and I are supposed to wise up, and we're supposed to figure this out after a while. And I've been increasing for a long time and facing problems, and then the problems get dealt with, and we increase, then there's problems again. The problems get dealt with, then we increase, then we have problems again. And somehow or another, you just keep hoping every time something changes and God does a new thing, you won't have any problems. But it doesn't work that way. In Exodus chapter 23, God has promised these people again a land, and that they are to possess this land. They are to take this land, and they were created for increase. And he uses the terminology increase in this chapter. Verse 20 says, and this is how God's going to give them the land and cause increase in their life. And this is a picture that we're living right now. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. That's a new place. See, God's bringing us to a new place, and he always sends his angel before us to prepare that place. Verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. That's a good thing. I mean, even in the natural, wouldn't you like God being an enemy to your enemies? You got some hurting for certain enemies if God's their enemy. Verse 23 says, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and completely break them down, or break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread, your water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren, in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. See, when you go where God tells you to go, you live longer. You prosper. You're fruitful. You're not barren. You fulfill your divine design. That's why everybody individually has to do what God tells them to do, and we have to do corporately what God tells us to do, because we want to live long and we want blessed. Verse 27 says, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And then he talks about their boundaries that was a type and a shadow. And in the kingdom we have no boundaries. because the kingdom of God is not bound by geographical location. Now, we have our own self-imposed boundaries in our heart, fences, that we want to blame everybody else for, but they're self-imposed. The limits you feel are of your own heart. Quit blaming your parents. Quit blaming me. Quit blaming the church. Quit blaming the economy. Quit blaming the culture. Quit blaming whatever. If you feel small, it's inside and it's not God's will. You can change that. If you feel fenced in, don't blame anybody else. Get before God and allow Him to blow those fences and walls out of your heart. Now watch this. God says, I'm going to send the hornets before you. They're going to push back these enemies of your soul. They're going to push back all these adversaries, but I'm not going to totally remove them, because if I get rid of them totally, I'll create a problem for you. The beast of the field will come in and multiply and devour you. So God says, I will push your enemies of fear, anxiety, worry. I will push the enemies of your soul back and give them a temporary border until you increase. Once you increase, though, you're face to face with the enemies of your soul again. Can you see that? See, if this was the outer border, if I'm right here right now, and God pushes all my enemies of fear, doubt, unbelief, depression, I'm not worthy, we can't do this. If He pushes them to here, and then He pushes them to here, whoa, praise the Lord, I've got victory. Oh, I feel comfortable, I'm excited, and now I'm increasing. And what happens when I start to increase and I start to grow and good things happen? Boom, there's my enemies again. I went from here to there, so I'm face to face with those enemies again. So it's a test. I trusted God the first time and He pushed them back. Can I trust Him the next time and let Him push them back? Well, you know, if we go this new direction, we're going to have problems. Duh! Well, you know, who does Pastor Dwayne think he is with all this new stuff? He probably don't know what he's doing anyway. Duh! How do you think we got here? See? And I know in my own personal life, man, God will move. And I'll get over the fear, the anxiety, the intimidation. And man, I'll feel good and I'll start to grow personally. And boom, there's my enemy again. Because He doesn't utterly destroy them or get rid of them. If God was to wipe every challenge out for the rest of our lives, we would not exercise our faith. We would not develop in trusting Him, leaning on Him, depending upon Him. That's why I've beat my gums for some of you nearly to death about how we never have enough money. We'll never have enough money. We've never had enough money. If we had enough money, we're not obeying God. And we're not trusting God. We trust the money. So every time we get more money, boom, we increase. We're broke again. There's that spirit of poverty, that Hittite. Then every time you grow and things are happening, the pressure comes and you're tempted with lust because of the pressure. There's that Canaanite spirit of lust and perversion. Spirit of lust and perversion doesn't come at me till I'm under pressure. It's quiet in this Full Gospel Presbyterian Church of Christ Methodist Presbyterian Church. I said Presbyterian twice, but they were asleep. So I want to make sure they heard me. Are you with me? Of course we got challenges. Of course we've never been here before. Of course there's giants in the land. Of course. What about this? And what about that? That says we're doing something again finally. I would be fearful if nobody was questioning anything, if nobody was asking questions, if everybody was, woe unto us that are comfortable in Zion. Yeah, when God's moving and we're growing, there's that comfort place of oh man, this is good. God is good. Things are going well. And you wish nothing would change. And what happens is you grow, you increase, and boom, God enlarges your border. He enlarges your boundaries. Then those self-imposed boundaries are challenged. Then the God temporary boundaries on the enemy are challenged. Are you going to trust him now? And are you going to believe him? Are you going to say, we be well able? Are you going to be able to embrace a new thing? Trust God and watch him push your enemies back farther. And then you'll have a season. Enjoy it. Because it's for a short time. And boom, you're right in front of your enemy again. Same fears, same Hittites, same Jebusites, same Amorites, same Canaanites. They all represent different things. I'm not sure all they represent, except it's bad. It's big, bad, and ugly. What are we going to face tomorrow? Something big, bad, and ugly. Come on now. The good news is we're honored by God to get to face it. That means we're growing. That means something good's happening. We have a new challenge, a new problem, a new obstacle, a new chance to grow in our faith and in our courage and in our obedience to God. Amen. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Praise God. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray increase on you.